Blog Talk Radio.
Set for a total of 4 hours straight coming up. So sit back, enjoy, tag your friends, let them know we're live. If you love spiritual radio, we got a lot of great guests throughout the next 4 hours. And our first guest, and we're going to be taking your phone calls as well, is a friend of mine. And I'm so delighted that she is joining us here on Journey into Light as Rachel Phillips from Australia. I know from, how do I know her? Well, she was my co-host on LA Talk Radio. You know, now it's Jennifer Taylor, and we just finished up a show an hour ago on my LA show. But Rachel was my co-host for quite a while there, and so enjoyed it. Had a blast, and Rachel has just a beautiful heart and soul, and beautiful person indeed, inside and out, and just brings a great energy. And she's herself. She's a psychic, a healer, a teacher. She does, it's all listed here, of course, you know, on the bio here on the show page, a psychic, a clairvoyant, healer, body intuitive, holistic coach, business mentor, massage therapist, and just all in, you know, helping, you know, souls, people, wherever they're at in their life, whatever help they need. And also in specializing in the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual soul being, and to help better your relationship or whatever else is going on in your life. But we're going to be taking your phone calls here for to speak to Rachel. So call in now, 347-884-8245 is the number to call on in to the show. And then press the 1 on your phone there to come aboard. And be very happy to have you here so on the show. So there you go there. Okay, so let's go out to Australia and go down under, as they say, and let's bring Rachel on into the show. Welcome back, Rachel. How you doing?
Hi, Michael. How are you? Thank you so much for the gorgeous intro. It's always really nice to come back and be on the shows and share and help others. So thank you.
Well, it's great to have you here. It's great to reconnect with you. And I so love doing the LA Talk Radio shows, Empowering Your Life, with you. And it was just a lot of fun. And you're a great energy. And just,
we certainly did have a lot of fun and a lot of giggles. And I think that's what makes the show really enjoyable, if you can just connect with people. And even though there's a day behind, the distance doesn't feel that way when you get on radio and chat with one another. So it's a really nice familiarity to come back. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's funny because we're like, our seasons are opposite, and, you know, you're heading into fall and winter, and we're heading into summer, and you're, Wednesday morning? Is that, what time are you right now?
Yeah, it's Wednesday morning, 8 a.m. So at least it's a little bit later than what the LA show was. So
yeah, when I was looking for a time for you, I was trying to get something later. I think before it was, 6 in the morning?
Yeah, and that was when it went to daylight saving, because prior to that it was 5 a.m.
Oh, man.
But that's okay, because I have done, you know, quite a few podcast shows in America and stuff like that. And sometimes it requires being up at 3, and that's that deciding factor where you just go, shall I just stay up all night or try to get a couple of hours? And you go, nah, you just stay up. Of course you do.
Yeah, that's real dedication. I don't know if I could do it that early. I know I can't. I'm not a morning person at all. But
I've had to learn to use that world clock time thing very, very well, because I said a yes to a lot of things and it would be 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Right. I know. It gets really, especially when you start getting, you know, like if you figure in London or something like that, well, it's not too hard. It's just 6 hours ahead of us. But when you're figuring in Australia, New Zealand, where, you know, you're already the next day, that's,
yeah, and because in America, you guys have got different time zones. So a couple of times I got a little bit confused and going, God, is this right? Because when I check the time on the computer, sometimes different apps will have different, might be out by half an hour, an hour, and you're like, oh no, what is it?
Yeah. And there's even, we all know of Eastern times, you know, the Eastern side of the States, but there's actually, when you go up Northeast, extreme Northeast, and you get into Canada, there's Atlantic time. So tomorrow I have a new guest coming on, and she's Atlantic time. So it took me forever to get, like, you're Eastern time, right? She's like, no, I'm an hour ahead of that. Like, what? There is no other hour ahead of that, but there is. So it's all confusing.
The last thing you want is, the last thing you want is to be late to a radio show.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't work out too well.
Yeah, it doesn't.
No, a lot of dead air, not good. yeah, yeah. I remember all those times on the LA show. It's like, all right, let's. We were talking so much in the screening room, it was hard to quiet us down there.
Yeah.
To go live. But anyway, well, Rachel, why don't you, if you would, please, tell the listeners kind of a little bit more about yourself. You know, how did you get started, you know, into all this spiritual work?
Cool. So as a kid, I was really empathic, so I could pick up on people's thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And I just sort of thought everyone sort of did that and didn't really make any big deal about it because, as I said, I just assumed everyone could connect in with other people's emotions and how they were feeling. And so I used to, when I was younger, I used to, especially if I knew someone was not feeling really good about themselves or was feeling really down, I really made it an effort to make sure that I would do something that would be funny or something to just break that emotional state so it could bring them back to feeling good about themselves. Then as I got a little bit older, I got dreams used to come in and I used to get a lot of messages through dreams. And then as I got older again, it was just like a different evolution. As I grew, different skill sets came through. And then by my mid-teens, I started getting a lot of psychic information. And I didn't really know what that was all about, but I would just know stuff. And so into my probably early, late teens, I really spent considerable effort to try and do anything I could to squash that, because to me it was like if I would say to someone, oh, this is what I'm thinking or this is what I know is going to happen, people would look at you and go, how would you know that? And I could never answer that. I didn't have the answer to that, and that really bothered me. So I made it a promise to myself to like keep it very squashed, because if I thought, well, how, if I can't explain it, what's the point of saying anything to anyone, or else it wouldn't have that validity to it. Then in my very early 20s, I was involved in a really bad boat accident where I got thrown out of a speedboat at 80 miles an hour and hit water and had a near-death experience. And both myself and the driver, we were incredibly fortunate that we didn't have any injuries. And I'd intuitively known that an accident was going to happen. And so after the accident, I became physically I was fine, but mentally and emotionally, I went to some really, really dark places because I couldn't move past that anger of why didn't I listen to my intuition? What, you know, and I, because I couldn't, I nearly died in front of my own family and friends. And I saw how much that upset them, and that really affected me, that through one silly choice of not listening to my own intuition, I could have stopped my own life. And so for about 7 to 9 months, I went to some really dark places. I had anxiety, depression, agoraphobia, and that's a fear of leaving the house, which doesn't work very well when you have young children and they need to go to school and you need to do groceries and you have to you actually have to leave the house. And it got to a point where suicide was something that was very, it was a big turning point to me. I'd reached a point where I just couldn't take living, mentally tormenting myself with this anger about the accident and not listening to my intuition, that when the suicide came up, I thought to myself, I have to go through with committing suicide, or I can remember the promise that I made to myself when I was in the accident, that I said to myself that I lived this, that I would start living my purpose. And I remembered that promise that I'd made to myself, and I thought, okay, because I think things can be very, very logical if you can come from it from a practical point of view. So I thought to myself, what was it about the intuition that you didn't understand? What was that turning point that made you not listen? It was, and to me, it was because I didn't understand it. You know, when I was doing the starting of really honing in on these skills 20 odd years ago, there wasn't teachers and advisors and mentors like there are today. So it meant a lot of self-discovery. So I thought, well, okay, I knew that intuition for me came through on a physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and soul level. So I packed up. My husband and I were traveling due to his work, and we were in another part of a state of Australia. And I said to my husband, I have to go home. I have to get myself together. And so I packed up where we were and I moved back home. I enrolled myself back in school, and I started educating myself as much as possible to learn as much as I possibly could about intuition. Because if I thought the only deciding factor between making a really silly decision by not listening to myself and not being here was simply because I didn't have the knowledge, then I went on this total quest of having to find the answer to all of those questions. So then I spent probably maybe about 7 or 8 years learning about spirituality and intuition from every facet, because I think as humans, we are multidimensional, where we have a physical element about ourselves that our intuition comes through, and it gives us feelings, our gut feelings. You know, then it comes through on a mental and emotional level. We can, if we don't listen to our intuition, we usually emotionally beat ourselves up, going, oh, I knew that was happening, why didn't I listen? Or I knew that was going to happen, I should have done this. So I learned a lot of things around the psychology and human behavior, because the human mind is one of the most interesting facets within ourselves. So if we understand how our mind works for each individual person, then we get to understand who we are as a person. And so then I learned a lot of things around you know, intuition on a soul level and spiritual level through healings and like developing my psychic skills. And one of the greatest tools that I found along that way to connect in with that intuition was through oracle cards, because there was a real clarity that came through them. And so every day I played with oracle cards as a way to hone in my skill and to develop that intuition and to for confirmation as well. I would get information come through and I wouldn't trust it, because after the boat accident, the biggest thing for me was my lack of trust. I'd lost my own self-confidence around trusting this information. And so the oracle cards were a way to build that bank of trust back up and to build that self-confidence again. So then probably about 5 years ago, I thought to myself, you know, I was working with plenty of clients, you know, thousands of clients over the years, and I thought, if I could create a deck of cards my own self, so then the people that I'm working with have a tool and a resource that they can use every day to connect in with their intuition, learn more about themselves, then that would be amazing, to give the gift that I felt that I had received after the accident to learn the most about myself. So then I created a deck of cards last year, and they're called Be You. I think the biggest question we ever ask ourselves is, who am I? And for me, I think for a lot of years, a lot of people have been looking externally, trying to answer that question through angels, guides, you know, so forth. But to me, there was always a message that always played over my head, which was, we have all of the resources within us. So I thought to myself, why are we always looking externally, trying to find the answers for what's within? So when I designed the cards, I wanted the cards to be something that connected internally with people, to connect with their soul, to listen to the messages that are playing out for you, because each person has a completely different journey. So if we're looking externally and not getting what we want, we feel that there's a lack within. Yet instead of looking externally, we actually need to go within. We haven't been shown how to do that. And now there's all these beautiful mentors and people now that are teaching people how to go within to access that available information that sits within ourselves each and every day. And I also work with a lot of students inside of a online course that I have, which is called Be You Intuition. To me, I think knowledge is one of the most greatest gifts that we can give to ourselves. It is the greatest investment that we can ever spend our time and money on, which is learning more about ourselves. So I thought to myself, well, I've learned all of this knowledge. Now it's time to share it. So I've shared it. I was a therapist, hands-on service-based therapist for 20 years, and then I decided to shift my business to online so then I could reach more people. And, you know, all of these amazing opportunities present themselves. You know, when I was a service-based therapist, I didn't see the opportunity for even just for like today to get on radio. But the moment that you sort of decide to shift online and want to reach an even bigger audience, different opportunities present themselves to be able to help you share that message so that you can help others along their journey. I think it's one of the greatest gifts that every single person within themselves has the ability is to help other people. And it's one of the most rewarding things. So now I spend my time with my students online and with the Oracle cards. And I have a couple of different online courses. So, as you said, because I think education and knowledge is one of the most powerful gifts we can give to ourselves. So that's been my journey of how I sort of came to from, you know, being younger to now having developed and doing the things that I do now.
Right. Well, that's beautiful. I mean, it's, you know, you've experienced this and I have too. It's like, you know, everybody's got to start, and you start wherever you can just, you know, find a footing wherever you can. And then as you progress, just like this show, when I started the show, there was teachers, leaders that I looked up to that were my teachers were. But as time went on, I found myself becoming a teacher, a leader, and now I fully, you know, embrace, even though sometimes when I look from the outside and I see myself running this show or running our new homeless project that we've been doing that's so dear to my heart, and I see myself organizing that and being the leader of it, and it's like I say, when you look from the outside and you look what you're doing, you're like, wow, it's kind of scary. But when you're just involved and you know, you're just doing what you know you need to be doing to help other people, it just feels right. And you embrace it like you're doing. You know, you're a teacher now, a spiritual teacher, and that's awesome.
Yeah, look, I think as humans, we all have the same within us, is that we're all teachers and students all at the same time. One of my biggest beliefs is we don't learn certain stuff so that it just sits in our head and goes nowhere. We learn it, then we apply the action so that it becomes, you know, ingrained knowledge, and then you share it. So that's why I've always said that you can help, everyone can help shift the world. You only need to share something with one person that's going to change their life, or give them insight into a different perception around what's occurring for them so that then they can then go and explore something different. And we all do that. I mean, how many times have you gone somewhere and something's been really awesome and then you couldn't wait to tell someone about it? It's sharing knowledge. So we all have that ability to be teachers and students at the same time, because when we make, like as you said, like when you started radio, you didn't really know what you were doing, so you had to learn it. So you've got to become the student so that you can become the teacher. And then as a teacher, your students share insights with you where you go on a beautiful learning journey again with them. So it's just this awesome evolution of always continuing to learn, grow, and develop ourselves as beings. And synchronicity plays a huge role in it. Like, if you're not sure where you're supposed to be or what you're supposed to be doing or what your purpose is, don't worry. It will reveal itself before you even know it. And it comes out in synchronistic events. Like you could be thinking, oh, I wouldn't mind doing this. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you start seeing, you know, courses on how to get, you know, certified in this, or someone will tell you they're doing that. And so the soul is always getting messages all the time, revealing what your purpose is and the direction. Now, I think people have a misconception sometimes that they think when you're living your purpose, you're just like brave and so courageous and everything is just perfect and it falls into life beautifully. That's not the case. You know, courage and determination and all of that, you know, there's that opposite polarity that comes with it sometimes, which is self-doubt and, you know, worrying, are you making the right decision? They're all of those things that encompass when you're living your purpose. It's not until you're fully cemented in it that you know that nothing is going to waver you from that. But when you first take that, you know, leap of faith, it's very, very daunting. And it always reminds me of that picture of the iceberg. People only see the part of the ice that's coming up from the water. They don't always see the stuff that goes underneath the surface. And so I think we all have those amazing tools within us to be courageous and have that strength and conviction within ourselves. We've just got to find whatever it ignites our soul. And for each person, that's so different.
You know, yeah, I so agree on that. You know, your near-death story, do you mind sharing that, what you saw? I love near-death stories.
Oh, yeah, no problems. So when I got thrown, because what had happened, like I'd said to a gentleman, we were with some friends up the river, and I had been brought up around jet boats. My dad had jet boats. One of his friends was New Zealand's best jet boat racer, went to the world. So I was brought up around them. So it wasn't something kind of common that I hadn't been in. And I just said to him, is there any chance to have a ride? It was Easter. So, you know, the river was packed with people. And he's like, yeah, no worries. But I thought it was sort of one of those moments where, you know, people go, yeah, sure, but don't actually follow through. And didn't think anything about it. And then the next morning he came and said, we need to go and we need to go right now. I've only got 5 minutes. And I freaked out and knew I shouldn't have done it. But as the boat was screaming down the water, as he went to turn, the steering cable snapped and we both got thrown out. So when I hit the water, I just remember feeling incredibly free. It's probably the best way to experience, say it. I felt so free. I didn't worry about, I felt like I could breathe underneath the water. My body felt incredibly light. But yet I had this conversation going on with someone who I didn't know who it was. It was a lady's voice. And I could just hear the memory that my dad had said to me. He had said to me, if you're ever involved in a boat accident, stay underneath the water for a short period of time because you don't know where the boat is, in which direction the boat's flipping. If you come up too early, you could be killed by the boat continuing to flip. So that came to my mind straight away. And I was, when this lady kept saying to me, you need to come to the surface, I didn't know how long I had been underneath the water. And I just kept saying to her, I don't know if the boat has stopped flipping. And it was like time had stopped still. And there was no noise. There was no, even the water was still, and yet this lady kept saying to me, you need to come to the water, you need to come to the surface. And I was a little bit stubborn and I was like, no, I'm fine here. There was a part of myself that was, if I was really honest, there was a part of myself that I didn't really want to come to the surface because I knew that there was this horrendous mess that had to be dealt with. And I knew that I had been a participant in this chaos that was unfolding above the water. And so I was sort of hoping that if I could stay there a little bit longer, that it would sort itself out. But obviously, you know, certainly not going to. And then the next minute I just saw this tunnel of white light. And this lady just kept saying to me, you need to come, you need to go through this tunnel. And I'm like, that sort of, I wasn't scared, but I was unsure because it sort of came out of nowhere, this tunnel of white light. And I was thinking, well, why wouldn't I just go to the surface? And then the next minute, it was like someone had just pushed me up through this tunnel of white light. I don't know whether it was because I'd been underneath there for way too long. And I just remember coming to the surface and I was looking around. And the next minute I saw this boat coming at me and I thought, the PG version is I remember saying to myself so clearly, it's been 16 years now, I remember saying so clearly to myself, I haven't lived through a boat accident to be hit by another boat. You know, when you're a water skier and you land in the water and you put your arm up to let people know? So when I'd come to the surface, I remember waving my arm at this person, and this boat had three people, three older gentlemen in it, and I've never seen their faces. I don't know who they were. And they were going to the back of the boat as to let me in. But it was like they hadn't seen me. And so I was waving my arm. And then the next minute, it was like chaos everywhere. There was boats everywhere. Well, that boat that had come towards me after, like as I'd come to the surface, I was the only person that saw that. There were no other boats on the river at that time. And everyone said to me, because I got thrown quite a distance away from the boat and underneath the water somehow. I must have moved location from where I'd landed in the water, so I was nowhere to be seen for quite some time. And so when I put my arm up, people actually knew where I was. And they'd all said to me, we were so pleased you put your arm up, Rachel, so we knew where you were. And I said to them, I put my arm up because that boat was coming at me and it was going to run me over. And they said there were no other boats on the river, Rachel. So I don't know. To me, I sort of took away that point of, you know, that was the deciding factor, where I decided to stay or whether I decided that I would get on the boat and that would be the end of my time here on Earth. So being underneath the water and experiencing that sort of thing didn't bother me, but the boat, that played heavily on my mind. That threw, again, another decision. Lucky I was quite defiant and quite stubborn. That made me not get on the boat. But that was something that played over my mind for a little while. Because I sort of tried to think, well, do I know these three people? Are they, you know, they always say that your loved ones are always waiting for you when you cross over. And I was thinking, well, I don't know these people. Who were they? And still to this day, I have no recollection as to who those three gentlemen that were in the boat. They're all the lady's voice that spoke to me underneath the water. And she had this, it was almost how I would envision an angel, because like she just had this incredibly soft, angelic voice about her that was so welcoming and so warm and had such a presence about her that even though I didn't know her, I felt like I did know her at the same time too. So I didn't feel threatened or scared by having that connection with either of the lady underneath the water.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. I never heard a story quite like that. I love near-death stories. And this, like, who, you know, having a boat and that wasn't there, and if you would have chose to get on that boat, that would have been, I guess you would have died, would have moved on. Is that kind of what you get from that?
That's right. It was quite incredibly. They were all the as I said, like to most people, like I was angry and disappointed in myself. But there were so many things that, like when I would spoke to a few people after the accident about what actually happened, like to my friends and family, they just all stared at me like I was had grown two heads and had five arms. So I sort of kept that story to myself for a little while because I didn't really understand there was a part of myself that was sort of like, why does one person get to stay and another person doesn't? But it made me really install an incredible promise that I've kept to myself all the time, because I thought, well, while I was underneath that water, I thought to myself, that if I get a second chance at living, I'm going to start making, I would make it a promise to myself that I would live my purpose. So hence, while after 9 months and I decided to get myself together, that has been my driving factor for everything, is making sure that if and when the time comes that I actually leave this place, that I have lived my purpose. So it's something I hold myself accountable to all the time. And that is, you know, helping people learn to understand themselves. Because I think had I'd understood intuition and understood myself a lot more before the accident, I would have made different decisions. But that's why I say knowledge and education is the most powerful things that we can do for ourselves so that we can understand how we function and operate. You know, we all have, you know, arms, legs, torsos and a head, but we all use that so incredibly different. We all view the world with a different perception filter. So, you know, we can go and get advice from other people and they're great. But unless you know how to utilize that advice or that knowledge in a way and package it up in how you can utilize it, then it just becomes noise and information. And I think as humans, we get bombarded with that much information as it is. Might as well fill our mind with things where we are discovering more about ourselves, because if we understand who we are, one, we make better decisions, but two, we get to understand who we are. And I think that is one of the greatest quests that each human on this earth is trying to figure out. Who am I? Because, you know, for a long time, you know, humans have sort of been like sheep. You know, they like to herd together and they like to be like other people. Now all of a sudden there's this beautiful shift saying, yeah, let's be unique. And we were all unique to begin with. But sometimes people will look at other people as inspirations or admire the qualities about other people and try to mirror those rather than look at the aspects of what that person has done to achieve that and mirror those steps based on applying it, understanding who they are as a person. So, like, just say, for example, like, you know, as a massage therapist, I could physically see muscles on people all the time. Like I could see someone walking down the street and I knew exactly what was going on for them on a physical, mental, emotional level. Yet another person that was in the class could only just see the body. So we all take information and we use it and process it completely different. Understanding how we process information is really important because some people are visual, so they need those visual cues to be able to understand information. Some people are auditory, so they learn best through listening. Other people are through, you know, kinesthetic, through touch and feel. So we all digest and process information differently. So if we understand how we do that, then we can take on board knowledge and really apply it into actions, because that's where we really do the learning and really expand ourselves and get to understand ourselves on all of these various different levels. Because I think as humans, we're like diamonds, we're multidimensional. We have all of these different aspects within ourselves. And we also have certain little triggers. So if we understand, you know, that at different stages in our life, we're using different facets of that, you know, if you look at a diamond, they have all these different facets. We use different facets for different areas of our life. And I think, you know, something that always really stuck in my mind was that for a lot of people, and this occurred for me as well, like that perfection, needing to be perfect in order to move on. And the one thing that I thought to myself, well, is we're diamonds. Diamonds have flaws. And I thought that is so paramount to as humans. We try and make sure that on the outside we're making everything look perfect, yet we're designed to have flaws. They're those elements of ourselves that divinely, you know, shape who we are. If everything was perfect within our world, there would be no reason for us to continue to learn and grow as humans. So we all have, you know, these amazing aspects within ourselves, and then we have other areas within ourselves that require a little bit more time to develop them, and accepting all of these different areas of ourselves is, I think, an incredible key to our own inner peace and acceptance.
Well, thank you for that, Rachel. That was great. Why don't we go to callers who have questions for you, Rachel, and for the rest of the show here. And okay, great. So everybody call on in here with Rachel Phillips and And the number to call in, 347-884-8245, Rachel Thompson Phillips. And all of Rachel's contact information is listed here on the show page. And after the first caller, I'll give Rachel a chance to give that out verbally, anything she wants to put out there. So stay with us here. Again, we're in the middle of a we still have about 3.5 hours here of Journey of Light left. So let's go to our first caller, area code 720. Welcome to the show. Can we get your first name and where you're calling from? Hello, 720? Are you there? Okay, well, we can't hear anything. There's some, sounds like, I don't know, maybe a bad microphone. Let's leave it there. You know what I mean? We're thinking, Rachel. Let's go to area code. We'll leave it there. 508, welcome. Can we get your first name and where you're calling from?
Olivia from Boston.
Hi, Olivia. How are you, love?
Good. How about you?
I'm very well, thank you.
I'm calling because I'm just wondering, could you help me with my career choice? And I am on a white path. I just seems like I thought I am, but then I am like, I'm kind of doubting myself. I don't know, should I pursue more? I don't know, what am I doing?
No worries, and that's cool, love. So the first thing that comes to mind is you are on the right path at this point. There are a lot of planetary things. What I mean by that is that there is a lot of planetary things happening at the moment. So the impression that I get is that you're on the right path, but you're now getting additional information, and now it has watered down and filtered the direction that you were going in. And the moment that you get a bit of self-doubt, you start to question everything that you're doing, and then you get into a place where you feel really stuck, and then you're too scared to make a step forward. To me, the thing that comes up and the card that comes up for you is rise above. So rise above any situations and connect back into what that original plan is. The thing that I'm seeing that would be really wise for you is to plan and map out the direction that you're going in to help keep you focused in the direction, because it's really easy to get distracted by noise or different suggestions or different ideas. And then we start to question and start to doubt where we're going. I feel like there's more education that needs to be done for you, some more study, short-term study. So even 6 to 12, like doing a few six-month courses just to really hone in, enhance some of the skills that you've got and develop them a little bit more. And I feel like you're going to go moving into doing a little bit of teaching and sharing. Like I mentioned about my story, we learn something first, so then we can teach others. So I feel like there's going to be an aspect within your career that you're going to be able to help the next lot of people coming through in that sector. So I hope that helps, love. But the biggest advice that I can say is just rise above that mental noise that you've got in, and at least map out the next 3 to 6 months, so that those moments when you have that unquestionable doubts coming through, you've got a focus and steps, actionable steps that you can take all the time that are going to lead you to the end goal that you want. Because this year is all about being able to achieve all of our goals. But the greatest gift that we can give to ourselves is staying focused to that and only having your focus on that. It's like that saying, have one, only chase one rabbit. If we have too many rabbits all in the one place, we get scattered and get distracted, and then we end up just going circular, just going around and around in a circle, not actually making any traction forward. So that's the biggest advice that I can give to you, love. So to just keep going in the direction you're going, love.
Okay.
So I hope that
can
helps.
We have just one, if you have time, just one more quick question. Relationship at loss. I don't know, coming, going. Would I ever actually find the right one?
I feel like it's going to be at least 2 years before you find the exact person for you. The thing that I'm seeing at this point is this is the time where you need to focus on yourself. I think you have this incredibly beautiful heart where you give and share generously to other people, and you have forgotten how to take care and nurture yourself first. I feel like the next couple of years is all about your journey of discovering about yourself, and learning more about yourself. So when that time comes, when the right match comes along, you're very sure in who you are, so that you don't change who you are to suit someone else. There will be dates along the way. There'll be short, very short relationships in between that. But I feel like you're at a stage where you're not ready to settle for less, and nor should you.
Okay. Thank you so much for your help.
No worries, then, love. It was lovely to meet you.
It was lovely to meet you, too. You have a great night.
Same with you, too.
Thank you, myself.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Take care. Okay. Rachel, do you want to go ahead and give out your contact information, any announcements? And
yeah, no problem. So people can find me on my website, which is rachelthompsonphillips.com. They will find the link in, is it on the show platform, Michael? Is it? Where
yes. Yes, yes, I have your links there.
So,
uh-huh.
People can find me on my website, and they can also go in and learn more about the intuition course that I have, along with the Oracle courses, the Oracle cards as well. Can be found on Facebook. Obviously, everyone's on Facebook. So, again, just underneath my name, the link is there. They can come on and, yeah, and feel free to just message me through Messenger, as well as that can be for anyone that is wanting to email me any questions that they may have. It is rachel@rachelthompsonphillips.com.
Okay, very good. And just before we go to our next caller, make sure you make a note of Rachel be here every Tuesday here on Journey into the Light, and that's 6 p.m. Eastern Time, in case you're listening to the show, as many of you will, in archive. Okay, and if you're calling in now live, make sure if you want to speak to Rachel, you press the 1 on your phone, okay? Very important. Area code 760, you're up next. Can we get your first name, where you're calling from?
Hello, Michael. It's Carolyn in California, and hello, Bonnie, too, if she's there.
Hi, Carolyn.
Okay,
how
welcome.
Are you? It's Rachel.
And hello, Rachel, most of all. I missed the very beginning. So, Rachel, are you? Is it true you're going to be on for 4 hours?
No. Michael's radio show is for the next 4 hours, and I'm on for the first hour, love.
Oh, well, I better hurry. But, Michael, I want to. I was so moved. Rachel, your stories were so, well, spirit brings us to what we need to hear. And the whole thing, too, by, from the King of Life, by your pupils you were taught, that's the back and forth. It's just a wonderful talk, and your sharing of your near-death experiences was so not only moving, but I just want to take a quick minute for those of us in the United States. Rachel, are you in the AU now, or are you in the States?
I'm in Australia.
Ah, Australia. Well, that's what I thought. But, Michael, you probably know this, but perhaps you've been too busy. Rachel May, the world is sort of in crisis right now with North Korea saber-rattling, and Spirit took me to a message, a wonderful website, where they said under the full moon, and it will be different depending on your time zone, for example, in the U.S., we're on daylight time except for Arizona, but it's to the full moon. I think they use that as a reference, as I think in the Eastern time zone in the U.S., 2:08 a.m. Past midnight tonight. And where I am, it would be slightly before midnight. I'm in California, 11:08. And what they were asking was that all of us in this really critical time with the energy is to take a moment and pray for peace, because we are in a very serious situation. So I just wanted to share that. So
thank you so much, love. It's I think it's always, again, as I mentioned, like it's amazing how we can share the knowledge to help other people along their journey as well. So, and thank you for the lovely compliment.
Yeah,
about
well,
my story.
On the news I saw today that some of the American warships were just leaving from Australia where they're based. So you're, you know, in the Pacific is where the, but if you have any couple minutes left, I would just be so appreciative of whatever you pick up with the Oracle cards. Thank you.
No problem. So the card that comes up for you, love, is Pathways. And that is a card that is about happiness. Recognizing that happiness is the most important quality that we have within us. I know you spoke of peace and wanting to have that world peace, and I think that's incredibly beautiful. Although there is an aspect that is to be reminded to us all is that sometimes what looks like the worst possible thing that is occurring in the world creates some of the biggest shifts that will ever occur in this world. It binds and it bonds people together. It makes them realize that we are so much more than items or acquiring things. World things like what's occurring at the moment, it shows a unity. It brings in a consciousness. It brings people back to that raw quality of acceptance of other people. For you, the message that's coming up is happiness. Try not to, I know that this is upsetting for you, what's occurring, but I think that also too, remembering that your happiness is the most beautiful gift that you can give to other people. When we radiate from a pure place of true happiness, what we do is that we not only share in that happiness, but we share in joy, we share in gratitude, we share these qualities where other people get to see a different dimension within yourself. And when someone is around someone that expresses and shares that kind of emotion, it lets people know that that happiness is not something that, happiness is something that people underestimate. When I've got this, I'll be happy. When I've done that, I'll be happy. Happiness is an emotional state that we should all try and work to on a day-to-day basis, because then we get to resonate coming from the most beautiful place of who we are within our own self. So that's my message, love, is just keep sharing that beautiful element within yourself, because it gives other people permission to share in that energy as well. And then they contribute, because they've been around your presence, have been happy, they themselves become happier, and it contributes and makes a massive shift like that all around you. So keep doing what you're doing, love.
Yeah, may I just speak to, I am fairly evolved, and I, when I use the sharing the world peace, I gel that down into terms, but I couldn't agree with you more as far as being recently in the world of energy and spirit, that that is an opportunity for great energy shifting. I was just, I'm sort of a teacher myself, tried to gel it down to the reference point of most of the audience. But yes, the point you brought out is as far as perhaps being fearful of this, but I saw it as a more unifying form, and to make, at least here where we are, people more aware of coming together in a positive conscious way. And so, and as far as happiness, I've been through some pretty dire stuff, but I keep saying laughter is the best medicine. I, no matter what's going on with me, I love the fact, if they said, what do you like about yourself? I'd say, I love the fact that I still have the ability to laugh, and laughter is infectious. You're so right. Thank you.
That's right. And we underestimate, because that's just your natural essence, and I totally dig what you're saying, because that has been one of my greatest tools to have helped me get through some of the darkest places, like you just mentioned, which is laughter. Sometimes I think I have a pretty warped sense of humor, but I make my own self laugh, and that's all that matters. But we fail to see how significant it is to be around people that share in that laughter, to be able to share that happiness and that joy. And because a lot of people's focus is on all the things that are not working. So that's what I was trying to say. Don't underestimate, just because you've done it for so long, that it's not a significant essence within yourself. There is a very big reason that you are that way, so that you become a role model for other people to say, you know what, her life hasn't been amazing, but this is how she's choosing to experience the rest of her life, and I would like to do that. So it's an amazing essence, and it's that quality of you that should not be underestimated, as in how potential it has to shift and change so many other people's worlds, love.
Well, thank you, Rachel. I look forward to laughing with you, and I know somebody else is waiting. Thank you so much. I look forward to staying on and listening. Thank you, Michael. Love, Bonnie.
My pleasure, love. Thank you,
Rachel.
So much for calling.
All right. Thanks for your call. We appreciate you. I know Bonnie does too. All righty. Rachel, that's going to wrap up our hour. Wow, what a great first show. Look forward to all the future shows. And we'll definitely have you talk about, I know each week you're going to talk about a different topic. And, you know, one of the ones I would love for you to talk about is, you know, so many of the listeners, you know, would love to have practiced a business, and you've been a success. So if you can talk about some of the steps maybe that has helped you, I know the listeners would get a lot out of that.
No problem. I'd love to share that. I think it's, I think you should be able to make a business out of what you're incredibly passionate about. So then when you get up every day, it's not work.
Right. Exactly. And, yeah, we could talk about that next week or whenever you want to put that on your schedule. So it'd be awesome.
That sounds awesome.
All right. Well, Rachel, you have a good Wednesday. We'll try to wind down our Tuesday, if that makes sense.
Well, you won't be able to wind down. You've still got 3 more hours to go, love. So
I know.
You have a wonderful evening. Thank you to all of the listeners for coming on and sharing this hour with me. I've had a wonderful time. And I look forward to hearing from people over the coming weeks and months.
Okay. Well, great, Rachel. All righty. Take care. Thanks for again coming on.
Will do. Take care, Michael. See you, love.
Okay. Okay. Bye-bye. All right. That's Rachel Thompson Phillips here on Journey in the Light. And so, everybody, Journey in the Light continues. We're not done yet. So, everybody, please redial. We'll be joined now with, coming up, our angel lady, Marilyn Posick, will be here, and she'll be taking your phone calls, and then after that, we'll have Sonic Nova, and then we'll finish off the show with my good friend and one of the most excellent mediums out there, Medium Michelle. So that'll be the final show, which will start at 9 p.m. Eastern time, and that's all on the schedule there. Anyway, so everybody redial. I'm going to end this, and we'll see you here in just a second.